Well, we bid you good morning on this Friday, end of the work week edition of My Car Guru. We welcome in Lenny Lawson to our midst.
Me again.
It's me again, Margaret. Remember that song?
Huh?
You remember that song?
No.
It's me again, Margaret. Ray Stevens. Remember he did a lot of the funny songs?
Oh, yeah.
You know, he said to me where he's doing these prank calls.
Yeah.
He couldn't get away with that anymore. Because Margaret would know who's calling.
That's
right. You remember when Star 69 hit and you could dial that and figure out who was calling?
Yeah.
You know, we thought that was high-tech stuff.
Oh, we did.
And we thought, oh, my goodness, we can actually tell somebody's calling us and no more prank calls.
Yeah, we've advanced since then.
I think we've advanced.
You know, my mom was having problems with her home phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't realize it. She was just using the cell phone. I didn't realize the line was actually messed up. So I called CenturyLink, and they came in and fixed her phone, and then the prank calls started.
Mm-hmm.
And she got a call. It was basically somebody that had either maybe gotten to her Facebook account or whatever, and now was calling.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, now the caregiver answered the phone. But then she called me after the phone call because the lady was going to be calling back.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposedly Katie,
mm-hmm.
which is one of my mom's grandchildren,
mm-hmm.
my brother's oldest child.
Mm-hmm.
And she needed some money. She had had an accident, and she needed for mom to wire her some money.
Wow.
Well, it wasn't Katie. It
wasn't Katie.
No. Yeah. And that didn't start. That kind of crap didn't start until... I mean, I guess people can get your cell phone number and do the same thing, but these landlines, you know, and I think about just preying on the elderly, you know,
mm-hmm.
and just all the different scams that happen. And they can find out your grandchildren's names, and they can find out your children's names, and they can paint a scenario for, somebody that's not got all their wits about them, you know, if you're suffering a little bit from memory loss or dementia or whatever. That's so many people get ripped off that way. So
I guess, and unfortunately, a lot of the older people need landlines because smartphones have gotten such that it's hard. And like you say, if they have a mental instability or something going on, whether it's dementia or Alzheimer's, whatever it may be, or something else, it's hard for them to figure out maybe how to work the smartphone.
Yeah. You know?
And so they still need some landlines, but you're right. People take advantage of that.
And the more technical things get, the harder it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you and I have talked about the difference between ignorance and stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not supposed to say that. I got criticized one time for saying that word on the air by a school teacher. But, you know, some people, I think stupidity is the incapacity, mm-hmm. you know, to know something, to learn mm-hmm. something. Ignorance is just not knowing,
mm-hmm.
you know, just not being aware.
Right.
And there's a whole lot more people that are just ignorant of things. I'm ignorant of a lot of things. You know, I don't, well, we won't get into all of the things that I'm ignorant about because that's a very long list.
Well, you were talking yesterday about the 76 Buick Electra and the previous owner that you bought it from. He was ignorant of the fact that it had a head gasket problem.
Well,
he didn't know.
Yeah. Lack of awareness,
mm-hmm.
you know, of what can happen. You know, this happens in an automotive world a lot because cars are complicated and there's a lack of trust and confidence. I'm a big fan of people having a trusted mechanic or a trusted dealership that they can go to and, you know, knowing the service advisors. Let's say you're a customer of Friendship Hyundai and you go there for all your service, you get to know the service advisors on a first name basis. You're seeing them every 90 days or so for your oil changes, and you know all of your maintenance records are there, and you develop this level of trust.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sure.
And you don't know which tech's working on your car. You know, sometimes our customers get used to, I remember back in the old days when we used to, you drive into the shop, you know, we had a service department that was when you drove in to get your car worked on, you were literally driving into the shop.
Mm-hmm.
You could see the technicians there.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
we'd had people say, well, I want him to work on my car. Or I don't want him to touch my car again. You know, that kind of stuff. Now, most dealerships, it's separated, so you don't get to see who's working on your car.
Yeah.
So the relationship is with the service advisor.
Mm-hmm.
and or it may be with the owner of the dealership. And there's a lot of, I have so many customers that, I mean, I've been doing this for a while, 44 years or so, and a lot of people want to make sure that I'm involved, you know, in their sale transaction or their service transaction or whatever. And I don't mind doing that. I mean, that's why I put my cell phone number out there for the public. And
well, I would be that way. You know, we traded for a vehicle with you one time, and I wanted you involved in it. That's what we wanted.
But, you know, that trust factor is important, especially as important as cars are. Now, from a standpoint, I mean, cars are the way we get around, obviously, and some people look at cars with passion. You know, that's why somebody buys a Mustang or a you know, a Corvette or maybe an F-150, the Lariat, you know, or King Ranch with all the goodies. I mean, because the car means a lot to them, you know, the the way it looks and the way it handles and feels. To others, you know, that they're happy buying a Honda Element, or Elephant, as I call it, you know, and they don't care what the vehicle looks like. It just so that it has the utility that they need.
They're boxy, though.
Yeah, they are boxy. You like boxes, don't you? I like boxes.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with the Honda Element, personally. I have more problem with the Pontiac Aztec. Yeah, that's one of, or a Gremlin or a Pacer or something.
Malibu Classic.
Malibu Classics, yeah. But, you know, you're developing that that kind of relationship, then you get the trust factor and you feel more comfortable letting them, you know, take care of you and work on your vehicle. And they're going to screw up occasionally, you know, and you want to have enough comfort with them that when they do screw up, you're willing to go in and say, hey, you screwed up. You got my seat dirty the last time I got my car serviced here, or, you know, you fixed this, this, and this, and you didn't fix this. You know, what I respect from a car owner is a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, you know, not thinking that just because we didn't fix something that we have a personal vendetta against you. You know, it's not personal. It's, you know, we either couldn't diagnose the problem. It's just like the head gasket. You know, sometimes it takes two or three times, you know, to actually pinpoint what is going on. Cars are complicated things, but, you know, they are how we get around. And it's such a great inconvenience to a person who owns a car and they've got it in the shop and they didn't get a loaner car. And even when they do get a loaner car, they don't want your loaner car. They want their car.
Yeah.
Right?
Unless
your loaner car is a lot nicer than their car.
Yeah, it might be exciting the first day to drive something different, but then you want to go back to your car.
Yeah, I mean, I just like when I raise my console up, I like seeing my, you know, my stuff in there. My Leatherman, my flashlight, my extra cables, my Sweet and Low sweetener.
Your James Taylor
my
CD.
Gum. No, I just listened. I just plugged my phone in. You know, I like seeing my stuff, and people don't like to see other people's stuff, you know, when they're driving or, you know, borrowing a car or stuff. Yeah. So, you know, it's important to get our cars back, and, you know, we want them back better than when we dropped them off. You know, Lincoln, we were a Lincoln dealer for a long time, and Lincoln required the dealer, when you've worked on somebody's car, to wash it. And I think that's a great idea.
I do, yeah. I do, too.
If you have the infrastructure to be able to handle it. You know, if you just have two cleanup shop guys, and they're busy washing cars for the lot and for sold vehicles and stuff, and then all of a sudden you have three Lincoln customers pull in and, and they're just there for an oil change and they want their car washed. We've got a problem. And so you have to have the capacity to be able to handle that. That's one of the things I really enjoyed about going to the PALS training school that I went to many years ago. Their motto was 100% right, 100% of the time, at 100% volume. And, you know, I've been through the PALS drive-through and asked for a ham with lettuce only and ended up getting a ham with lettuce and cheese and mayonnaise on it. But, you know, and it's inconvenient to have to circle back around and, you know, say, well, you know, they screwed up my sandwich. But, you know, I don't have to throw it at them, right? You know.
And, you hear these stories every day about that stuff going on.
Yeah. Even
extreme stuff. The woman the other day, there was a story at a particular fast food restaurant that it was, I think they left the cheese off of her hamburger or whatever it may be, and she pulled around and pulled a knife on them or did something like that.
You know, I've just noticed that people, it seems like driving, maybe it's just me, but maybe they're just mad at me. I don't know. But people just are more on the edge with strangers than normal. They're just a sure. little bit just ready to, you know, somebody screws up and accidentally pulled in front of me. I mean, I pulled in front of somebody not too long ago. And, I mean, you had thought that I had, you know, kidnapped their children or something.
Sure.
And
well, we're
just
becoming,
the reaction, just the violent
yeah.
kind of reaction, you know, with hand gestures with both hands.
Sure.
You know, and you know, all I did was messed up.
Yeah.
You know, now sometimes the mess ups can result in tragic consequences.
Sure.
You know, you see people coming over on you and kind of going down the road, bouncing on, you know, from one side of the road to the other, and then you get mm-hmm. up beside them and they're on their cell phone. I mean, that's irritating. And mm-hmm. I mean, they're the ones that are going to suffer for that unless they run into you, and mm-hmm. then you suffer for it too.
Well, it seems to me the less social we become, and it's becoming a less social world, wouldn't you agree, with high tech the way it is and with the pandemic? Well, you know, we didn't associate with each other during a whole year a lot. And
you know, you would think so. I mean, you'd think what you see on Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff is people are sharing more and more of their lives.
Sure.
But it's not their real life. You know, it's not really who they really are.
Right.
It's just a snapshot, right? And so we think that's being more social. Mm-hmm. When in fact you go to a waiting room at a doctor's office or at a car dealership and everybody's got their face stuck in that phone and they're not interacting with other people. You know, you go to a restaurant and you see a table full of people that there's no conversation going on.
Right.
And they're all looking at their devices.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, I think it's the technology has built a wall between
mm-hmm.
people
mm-hmm.
that I don't know that we're ever going to get over.
And then, like I said, the pandemic just accentuated that we didn't have to have to do with them very much. And we had masks on going out in public, and we didn't have to talk to people. We didn't get up in their face, you know.
Yeah. So. But there are good things going on right now, you know, just with people getting back out and going to car shows. And, you know, that's one of the things I really like. Really, the Amelia Island Car Show is more of kind of an elitist kind of a show, you know, mm-hmm. where you have the best cars in the world on mm-hmm. display and people all dressed up and stuff. But, you know, you go to these local car shows like the Cruise Inns in Elizabethan and the show at over in Irwin and the one we just had in Greenville a couple weeks ago. And, man, it's just people getting together and sharing mm-hmm. something that they're very passionate about. And you walk up and ask them about the car, and they're just loving to share mm-hmm. the information about the car, where they found mm-hmm. it and
mm-hmm.
stuff. And
mm-hmm.
and their interest in you. You know, to me, it's about showing interest in others first. And then if mm-hmm. you show interest in others and concern and smile and do those kind of things, then you're going to get that in return. You know, if you flip somebody off or something, you know, then you're not going to get a good response.
Yeah.
And we just all need to try a little bit harder in that regard, I think.
Well, that's one of the things I like about our side passion, which is picking and antiques and mm-hmm. going to auctions and to estate sales and so forth. We talk, we make friends, we talk to people that's into the same kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
just like you're talking about with the car show.
And that's a large part of the fun, isn't it?
It is. It's a lot of networking. It's you know, we set up at Dixie Gas and Oil down in Sevierville, mm-hmm. near Sevierville, and one of the big fun things about it is other people coming around and sharing their passion about it, and you talk to them, and you end up, hey, well, do you have a card on you, or what's your number, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can get together sometime and talk and look over each other's collections, those
mm-hmm.
kinds of things. It is. It's one of the great things about it.
Yep.
Yeah. Shall we take a break?
Sure.
We're past due for one. We'll do that. We'll come back with more on My Car Guru. All right, back here for the second portion of My Car Guru here on this Friday morning.
You know, with gas prices going up, there's some simple things that you can do.
Mm-hmm. Save a little fuel.
Mm-hmm. Get a little bit better gas
mileage.
I'm going to give you a somewhat expensive thing you can do, but it can have long-term benefits.
Mm-hmm.
First thing is just check your gas cap. About 17% of all vehicles on the road have broken or missing gas caps.
Hmm.
Which reduces gas mileage and can be detrimental to the environment. All right, so
yeah,
You know, Fords don't have gas caps.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Many of the newer vehicles don't have gas caps.
It has a cap, but it's automatic.
Sure.
You know, you don't have to screw something on or off.
Right,
and it's just important that when you get gas, that if you do have a cap, that you screw it on until it starts clicking, you know, and make sure that it's ready to go. Another thing you can do is to make sure your front end is aligned. You can save approximately 28 cents a gallon. You know, you drive over potholes that were created during winter months. It can easily throw your wheel's alignment out of whack, and it's important to do that. If your tires are not lined up, then you're creating rolling resistance, which will negatively impact your fuel economy.
Mm-hmm.
Pay attention to your tires. Sources suggest that over 25% of all vehicles on the road have incorrect inflated tires. Your tires will lose approximately 2 pounds per month.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you go a long time between oil changes, and the only time you're getting your tire pressures checked is when you have an oil change, then, you know, you could be 6-8 pounds low, and which would also trigger as much as a 3% dip in fuel economy.
How important is it that all the tires be even, pretty much the same tire pressure?
You inflate the tires to your, it's important. You inflate your tires to the manufacturer's recommended. It's actually on the door jamb. Typically, it'll show what the pressures are. Don't go by the tire pressure rating on the tire itself. Go by what it says in the owner's manual or in the door jamb.
Okay.
You know, using the right motor oil. You know, if you're currently using 5W30 grade oil, if you switch to 10W30, it could reduce your vehicle's fuel consumption by 1-2%. You know, these are all incremental changes, but you add them all up. If you're doing multiple things wrong, then you're wondering why, you know, you're only getting 18 miles a gallon when your car was rated at 21 miles per gallon.
Of course, if you're using synthetic oil, it's usually zero weight oil.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
We don't have emission control test, but, you know, if your vehicle is pretty old and you've never changed your spark plugs, then there are certain things that you can do. You know, a tune-up is not a cheap thing, but really a lot of cars don't require the frequency of tune-ups that they used to. I remember cars in the early days, when I first started a business, you're supposed to get a tune-up every 25,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Replace the spark plugs and, you know, different components of the distributor. But now we don't do that. Now it's about 100,000 miles, but it can impact that.
Mm-hmm.
Clean out your trunk. Don't carry around a bunch of stuff that you don't need. You know, that extra weight does add up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of cars have the automatic disable, you know, it turns the car off, automatic start stop.
Oh, I hate that.
I hate it too, but you know, it does work, especially if you're in stop and go traffic a lot, and you can, instead of sitting there idling, you can just turn your engine off. Keep your left foot off the brake pedal. You know, there's a lot. My mother-in-law was a really bad two-footed driver.
Riding
that brake, and of course that extra resistance is bad. And slow down.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, I should be the one talking to myself because I tend to drive a little bit too fast. Just driving 65 instead of 70, you can cut your vehicle's fuel consumption by approximately 7%.
Just by slowing down a little bit.
And then drive smoothly. I see so many folks just accelerate like they're in a race, you know, at the traffic light. And it doesn't really matter. And why people do it, I don't know. You know, it's just accelerate slowly and smoothly, and you can save gas. And we'll take our last break, and I'll tell you a big thing that you can do to really improve your fuel economy long term.
All right, we'll be right back. All right, we're back here to wrap up My Car Guru on this Friday morning.
You know, at the dealership, my dealership in Greenville, Gateway Ford and Gateway Nissan, occasionally we'll have a customer want us to install something called a cold air intake.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of that?
I heard that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so cold air intake is basically something that will move your air intake into your engine further out to the front of the vehicle, okay? And basically, it is aftermarket parts. Manufacturers normally don't make them. But it's designed to bring relatively cool air into the car's internal combustion engine. Cold air intakes move the air filter outside of the engine compartment so that cooler air can be sucked into the engine for combustion. Cooler air is more efficient in the engine, and therefore you will burn less gas. It also makes your car run better because it's basically bringing more oxygen into the combustion chamber, and that means more power. The filters are usually moved to the upper wheel well area or near the fender where there's more access to free-flowing air. And it can be significant. The amount of improvement in fuel economy and power can be as much as 6 to 10%. So mm-hmm. that's pretty significant over a long term. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they cost anywhere from $250 to $350. And there may be some labor charge on that as well. But it's interesting that it gives you added horsepower, anywhere from 5 to 12 additional horsepower, and makes your engine more responsive and will not void your manufacturer's warranty.
Hmm. You know, 2 years ago at this time, you probably weren't talking very much on this show about fuel saving.
Yeah.
You know, because the price of gas was...
Nobody cared.
$1.79.
That's right. Wasn't an issue. You know. So, but now we're talking about it again.
Well.
Thank you, President Biden.
Well, that's a way to wrap up the week right there.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's probably not his fault. Who knows? I just thought I'd say that.
Okay. Anyway, you can address your letters to the Cargo. No, we're kidding. That'll do it for My Car Guru on this Friday morning, and we'll talk to you again on Monday.